Bing bong. I'm back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast where I got Brandon Gentile. We go through it all. We go through the Bitcoin bull run, what's ahead. He also works for Bitcoin Trading Cards, so be sure to check them out and get yourself a pack or two. They got a lot of great stuff helping orange pill people. We talk a little bit about our athletics, a lot of different stuff. So tune in for another action-packed episode. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, this is not financial advice. Everything you hear in this podcast should not be taken as financial advice. And hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening to this podcast. Hit that subscribe button. Help your boy out. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And you can connect with other Bitcoiners. Are you looking? Do you feel lost? Do you feel like you don't find any other Bitcoiners near you? Well, let me tell you, there's some around you. You can find them using the Orange Pill app. Use the sign-up link in my show notes, and I'll give you 10,000 sats off that purchase price as soon as you sign up, so you can get a little sats back. You can connect with Bitcoiners. You can get on something that helps avoid anything related to spam, bots, whatever, Telegram. They all got them. They all got them, but Orange Pill app does not. And shout out to the Bitcoin Advisor. Everybody that is trying to get their Bitcoin off an exchange, you need to right now. You need to do it as quickly as you possibly can. You need to prepare for the bull run ahead. Go to content.thebitcoinadvisor.com/greencandle and set an appointment with me, and I can help you do that. I can help you do all that, set up estate planning. And lastly, shout out to Hodler's Official. That's H-O-D-L-E-R-S, official.com. You can use promo code greencandle. And big shout out to Bitcoin Racing. I almost forgot. How could I forget about Bitcoin Racing? They got a season coming up, so check them out at Bitcoin_Racing everywhere you get social media. Support the boys, and if you want to sponsor them, reach out to me directly, and I'll connect you with them. All right, now let's get into the show. Whoosh. Bing bong. I'm back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast where I've got Brandon Gentile of the Bitcoin Trading Cards, which are just absolutely blowing up. We were talking a little bit about pre-show, so we're going to get into all of that. But we can't dodge the price at this point, right? I mean, we have the scarcest internet money that would possibly be. We're recording this on the March 8th, and Bitcoin passed 70K today. It passed the 69,420 mark. It did all that. So, Brandon, let's start there, man. How you feeling with the price ripping and rolling? And, yeah, we're all going to make it now, right?
My goodness. It was funny you say that. Like I think it was my wife or someone texted me earlier and of like a screenshot of the price. And I had no idea. Like I haven't checked it since like, I don't know, like yesterday or yesterday morning or something like that. But it's like, you know, we were just talking offline. Like we got so many different things going on and trying to educate people about Bitcoin that you just get lost sometimes. And it's like, we're as a team, actually, we were talking about how we didn't even feel whether the price is at breaking all time highs or like, you know, a year and a half ago when it was, you know, lows for the cycle or whatever is down to 15,000. It's the same feeling. Like a mission is not accomplished until you've taken over all of fiat and it's all been, you know, sucked into the black hole that is Bitcoin. That's when I think I'll feel like I can finally kick my feet back and be like, okay, now we're good.
No, I mean, I completely get that, but I mean, you know, you started off right with about the education aspect of things, right? So I imagine you interact with a lot of different people. You know, you give them the trading cards, and we'll get into all that and how you guys are absolutely crushing it here in a minute. But the education aspect of it, I think, is something that, you know, it's not necessarily, I guess, lost in a sense, but it's like, well, orange pilling is always a very fluid conversation, right? It's always like, what is, you know, you got to meet somebody where they're at. I just talked with or just heard a talk with Michael Saylor about the five kind of different areas you can be. You know, somebody that, you know, absolutely hates it. Somebody that's like, what is this funny internet money thing? You got the traders, you got the people that are kind of hodling, and then you have the full-fledged Bitcoin maxis. So, you know, kind of figuring out where those people are can kind of help you orange pill them. But you guys obviously found a unique approach with the orange pill packs and everything like that. How is that conversation going now? You know, Google search trends are starting to get up a little bit more on Bitcoin, but it seems like the normie kind of aspect of Bitcoin and, you know, it's still a little quiet on the Western front here. So how's that conversation been developing over the last couple months comparatively to maybe a couple years ago?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's something I'm glad you brought that up, because it's something I've been thinking about a lot in just the last few weeks. I guess it has been the last few weeks. It feels like a few months almost, but I mean, the price was like a week or two, a couple weeks ago, it was in the, you know, 50s or, you know, whatever. And it was just like, it was like, huh, like this is wild. We're 20% away from an all-time high. And it feels like no one was talking about it. You know, you get it on the national news here and there, CNBC's, you know, stuff like that. But I just was kind of blown away at the little fanfare it was getting nationally, but also people, maybe friends and family, people that would come to you. It was just like you said, all quiet on the Western Front. I was like, what is going on? Like, how is this sneaking up on everybody? And, you know, you kind of think back to, I think, other cycles too. And it's, you know, probably how it always happens. Like it spikes in the past and then people kind of get desensitized to it in a way. And it's like, okay, like it's, you know, it's kind of, it's back or it's getting there. But yeah, like you said, the Google search volume, everything is way down from where it was 2017, 2021. And I think it's two things in a way. You mentioned Sailor. Like Sailor is one big thing, is that people don't, or they're not interested. Like the one big thing for Bitcoin now, like the fear factor with it in a way, or for Bitcoiners, I should say, the thing that fears, or he fears, at least, if I could speak correctly, is that people just aren't interested in sound money. And it's not necessarily a technical thing, you know, or something that might go wrong. It's just that people lose interest. And I think that that's where you see like the central bank digital currencies, or you see the governments, where they're always trying to gaslight, right? They're always trying to, you know, manipulate with, you know, these different psychological tactics where they're trying to dissuade people. They're trying to coerce people or dissuade people, because really they know too. I mean, that's the only thing that can stop Bitcoin, is people lose interest for some reason. Fortunately, the properties of Bitcoin obviously are to our advantage, and humans are going to generally seek the hardest money. So it's going to be hard to stop that. But to me, that really is that thing. I think that search volume though, it's kind of interesting though, because you're seeing things across the world. It's fascinating that Bitcoin, the traffic, the search volume could be that low still, when it is getting towards all-time highs in the last month. But now like you said, you're starting to see it creep up again a bit. Obviously price is so huge, either like really good things happening, make people get into Bitcoin generally, or really bad things. And I think that's why I'm sure you, that having the calling inside of you, doing what you do, content creators, what we're doing at Bitcoin Trading Cards, just me starting to do content again, after years of doing real estate, getting back into leaving real estate to come into Bitcoins. I knew I had to be in this space and commit full time to this world of educating people. That's the push. We have to fight against that system. And you're seeing this push pull in a way, and we don't want bad things to happen at the end of the day. That's the thing. We don't want the Canadian trucker situations to have to happen in order for people to get orange pilled. I think that's the scary part for me, you know, having four kids, you know, you, your family, you know, my families, all of our families, we don't want bad things to happen. I don't want us to have to, you know, get hit by a car crossing the road. Let's just watch someone else cross the road, see what they do, and learn from other people's mistakes instead of us having to do it ourselves. And I think that's really what drives, I know me, and I'm sure a lot of us, is that we're trying to educate and get out in front of that so we can minimize the collateral damage.
Yeah. And I mean, that's great. And I didn't know this about you. I didn't know you used to be in real estate. And I kind of want to dive into that here for a second, because, you know, I think it's interesting. You see all the gold bugs on Twitter, like they're like 95% of the way there. They just don't get the digital aspect of things. But the real estate people, they're almost there too, right? Because it's all like the hard asset kind of mindset thing. So from your former colleagues, obviously you don't have to name names or call anybody out here specifically, but what was their kind of, I guess, like overall vibe when it came to Bitcoin, or kind of like you trying to explain the hard asset aspect of it, the hard money kind of thing? Was there a big disconnect, or, you know, where did you, I guess, kind of see the disconnect for those that didn't really get it and get to the full fledged like orange pill side of things?
And to your earlier point, it's a great question. And to your earlier point as well, that's kind of where the cards have come into play, right? So like my journey was real estate, right? Well, played hockey my entire life, and I played at Michigan State University, then I played in the pros for a few years, and then leaving that, seeing the great financial crisis was really when I was playing professionally, and leaving Michigan State and then playing professionally, and then when I really realized it was not red versus blue, it was a state versus you, and these two factions, red and blue, were on the same team, and we were not on that team, and that's what really led me down the road to like you just mentioned, gold bugs. I became a gold bug. I became a real estate guy and a gold bug and learning money. Robert Kiyosaki and Mike Maloney and all these people, Creature from Jekyll Island, getting into that in 2009 and 10, 11, 12, and seeing, wow, like we are being completely screwed over. And I had these writings and visions of, you know, starting a YouTube channel at that time, which I think I did around that time, but then, you know, the hockey things got in the way as I'm doing it, of course. And I wanted an education company. I wanted to educate people and children on these principles, on the American, you know, founding documents, the founding fathers, you know, natural law, first principles, and the things that I had seen success with, at least in my life up to that point of playing hockey, playing at elite levels, and just my thought process or frameworks of how I looked at things, is that it was just always fascinating to me what made people successful and others, you know, maybe weren't or couldn't find the success or whatever it was. But I was always fascinated with that of, you know, kind of the human brain and how things work. So you kind of fast forward, this process plays out over the last 15 years, getting into real estate and then hearing about Bitcoin in 2014, 15, I was always doing real estate, you know, trying to market for my business and my team. So I was always doing Facebook Lives and Instagram Lives. One of these things were coming out in 20, whatever it was, 15, 16. And so people would ask me about Bitcoin. I'd be teaching about money and all the things I learned for 5 years at that point about real money and the real, you know, about inflation and the real rates, you know, things like that. What was actually going on behind the scenes? So people would ask me about Bitcoin here and there. And I'd always give them, like you said, the gold bug, kind of like, well, I want to hold things in my hands. I just hadn't done the homework yet. And then the 2017 run up happened. And I was like, huh, like, okay, I gotta pay attention more to this. Like, this is really interesting. That's when I started diving into it more, but I didn't start buying until 2018. As an investor, I was like, well, I'm going to wait till it goes down. You know, smart guy here. I'm going to wait till it goes down, which as you know, and many of us listening, I'm sure it's, you can never go down. Like that's the craziness about Bitcoin. It could have just kept going up forever. At that moment, long-term it'll go up forever, but you don't know what you don't know. So I started buying then, but I didn't really, really start turning everything and all my stuff and really all my thinking, everything to Bitcoin until 2020, which was obviously, we all know what happened there. And many people, I'm sure, again, you're seeing what's happening. All my study of history and politics, everything kind of just like came together in 2020 and realizing, wow, we are way further down the timeline than I ever thought. I never thought I would see in America what I read about in history books through the fall of empires and different, you know, dictators, fascists, despots, all these different things. And the apparatus, whatever you want to call it, the deep state, the who, whatever it is, doing this to us and really, and then cascading around the world. That was to me the biggest wake up call. And so I go to, I tell my real estate team, you know, hey, you know, about that next year, I'm figuring out how can I get into the space? Like it's go time. Like I have to really start educating people and I'm being called into this direction and real estate's taking up my time in a way, investing in properties, helping people buy and sell and things of that nature. And I mean, like you said, most people didn't really, trying to think in the real estate world. I mean, people get it. They get buying assets. Some people on the investment side, the retail side of people buying and selling, that's kind of normie land. I mean, it just is what it is, a cross section of society, obviously. But to me, it was, hey, the real estate's taking me out of my learning, my growth and where I need to be truly educating people. And so I told my team, you know, hey, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Like I'm firing myself basically. And you know, this is not going to exist anymore. And that's when I went to Pacific Bitcoin. So that was like into 21, early 22. And then I went to Pacific Bitcoin 2022, the first festival they did, which was my first event. I got onto Bitcoin Twitter in 2022, which I didn't know existed. Didn't know all these people existed. I was like, where have these people been? Because I was always on other platforms for my real estate team, like Instagram and Facebook and all this other stuff. So I was just totally like awakened to all the people there and go to Pacific Bitcoin. And that's where I actually didn't meet Aladdin, who they came out with Bitcoin trading cards. He and Darian, his co-founder, came out and introduced the Series 1 cards at that time. And so I met him like a week or two after, a couple weeks after, actually, because of people I met at Pacific Bitcoin. And community is so important just for anything in life, obviously, in relationships. And so going to the conferences, I almost didn't go. And, you know, some last minute things happen. And my wife was like, nope, you got to go. Like, let's go. And I was like, yep, let's do it. And so I go and I meet, you know, just incredible people. And you're conversing with Bitcoiners for the first time in real life. And it was just blown away at the level of people, the quality of people that are at these conferences, these Bitcoin only conferences. And So I met a bunch of people that hooked me up with Aladdin. They're like, hey, you're into children's education and stuff. And you know, I was just talking to a lot of people about the things that I felt passionate about and was working on, some kids' books and things of that nature. And so like, hey, you should get it with Aladdin. You're like, he's working on some stuff too, like trading cards, whatever. So like that December, November, whatever it was, we got linked up and we were working on a different project actually. And which is still like, it's basically been shelved for now. It's in the wings, you know, for some other time, but we were working on something else. And then that first series, he was just giving the packs away, which are now worth thousands and thousands of dollars. Of the, like each card and the boxes are worth, you know, $10,000, like the original boxes. And he was just handing them out at Pacific Bitcoin, those packs and stuff. And cause no one knew about it at that time. So he like, I'm trying to think of 2 months after the conference, they had sold out, like all the rest of the boxes had sold out. And so he basically came to us and just said, hey, like, you know, we got this problem kind of like, we need to get series two out in like 3 or 4 months for Miami in May. And for Bitcoin Magazine's event. And we're working on this other project, but would it make sense for the handful of us here that are working on this new project to come over and we all work on Bitcoin trading cards together? And, you know, everyone kind of was looking around, you know, on Zoom or whatever we were on, and like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, dude, like if you have an offer that works, like if you have something that's working, we'd be stupid not to do that. And that was why we were there in the first place. It was kids education. How do you build this foundation and things that all of us are passionate about? And so then we just kind of went right on. I was telling you offline, like we were helping the cards and the background, you know, not the art. Aladdin was doing that with a couple of the artists, but we were helping the descriptions in the back and just editing and putting things together. And we jammed it out in like a month and got them to the printer. And we were using, at that time, I think it was that print, I can't remember, but we got hooked up with the Pokemon Magic the Gathering printer. And so they're, you know, you can't get to them unless you know somebody. So we knew somebody, got to them, and then had like a month timeline or something like that, a month and a half, in order to get them ready for May, or for them to have enough time to get everything ready for May. And so anyway, though, that ended up working out, and we had got them all like just in the nick of time, like before they were literally flying out from California to go to Florida. And we ended up selling out in like 3 weeks, that series two. Like 900 boxes. So it's, you know, 21,000 packs. It's 24 packs in a box, and it's about 900 boxes. So you can do the math or work backwards, but it's one of the scarcest, you know, trading card series in the world, if not the most scarce, and with the most rare, you know, chases and the foils in there and stuff like that. So not to go too far down the weeds of that, but that was kind of, for me, seeing all this come together over the last year, and even right away getting hooked up with Aladdin, seeing all that, it just kind of like stoked the fire even more from me, and just kind of like was the cap on my thoughts of 10, 15 years ago of, boy, we need to create a Call of Duty. Like my things were like, we need a Call of Duty for, at the time, Call of Duty was massive, and which I think it still is or whatever, but it was like, how do you create like a founding fathers Call of Duty where kids are like learning, they're playing a game, but they're learning at the same time. Cause there's just such a massive education gap that you could tell, you can't even argue with many people in society because there's so little going on upstairs. And I'm not trying to be conceited at all, but there's so little brain activity going on because we've been so desensitized, as you know, through fiat, you know, just desensitizing everyone from everything. Here, sedate with this, here, sedate with those drugs, here, sedate with that. And then watch the Kardashians, watch more football, you know, and just sedation, and then blanket out with some alcohol and some drugs or whatever it is. So there's very little brain activity going on by design. And then government run schools don't teach you these things either. So you have this like perfect concoction of people. You're trying to like argue like, hey, don't you know that this is how we're funding, you know? No, like you say founding or whatever, and just, you can see like their eyes just glaze over, things go over people's heads. And I realized, and this was 10, 15 years ago, like, wow, like we have to go back so far, like into the basics and like rework what we're doing here and get to the youth and start retraining everyone, because we got lost generations here. So anyway, the long-winded answer of what you were asking, but it's really the genesis of Bitcoin trading cards in a way. And Aladdin, the same thing, was how do you get your kids off of social media? How do I get my kids out, you know, playing, interacting, engaging with things in a fun way and incept truth into people's minds? that are usually like really not fun to talk about. They make you want to cry. They make you, they're just not easy to talk about. And most people, their eyes glaze over. So how do you do this in a fun way? How do you add this chase to it? This gamification, this collectability. So people are seeing these things, talking about taxation as theft or decentralization or centralization or, you know, the Bretton Woods Agreement. How do you, you know, with really cool art and these different things that you can then start learning and understanding, your kids can ask you questions and older people are asking you questions or whatever it might be. So that's been huge. And it's so enlightening to see from me that, you know, people from all ages are picking these things up and collecting them. And then also learning and asking questions and telling stories about how they changed their life. That's one of the coolest things, because again, for me, it fulfills one of these huge things that I saw 15 years ago as a, you know, 22-year-old or whatever. It was like, how do we start doing this and accepting it? And then, you know, years later, you're working with people that are doing that in a way that's engaging so many different groups of people. It's crazy. So.
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny because we were talking a little bit about this like pre-show, but the scarcity aspect, I think that is, I don't know, it's kind of like glazed over a little bit. So I think like the two most important aspects of Bitcoin are just like simply the decentralization, which I don't think we'll ever be able to replicate, and the digital scarcity aspect of it, because I don't think the human mind could just simply comprehend that scarcity aspect. But there is something with cards, right? I mean, we talked a little bit about it. For those who don't know, you should look it up. It's like the Ken Griffey card story. So Ken Griffey Jr. was like one of the best baseball players of all time. They called him the Swinging Kid. He had one card that came out and they marketed it as like, hey, it's this scarce card. They're only making X amount. But in reality, they just printed sheets and sheets and sheets of it. So eventually, like everybody kind of found out that like, if you didn't have a Ken Griffey card, like you didn't open like a single pack, because there's probably one in every single one. And so I don't think the scarcity aspect of like the Bitcoin trading cards and Bitcoin in general can be, I guess, like fully understood. So do you think, I guess, that's the most appealing part to, you know, so these people collecting your cards and kind of like, you know, opening some of these newer packs and whatnot is just like, hey, like, you know, I got this Michael Saylor card, for example, and there's only one of 1,000. I don't know. I'm throwing out numbers here. I don't know your exact numbers just yet, but yeah, exactly that.
Yeah. And yeah, you're right. We talked about this beforehand, and it's like this weird line we're trying to ride versus collectability and, you know, scarcity and educating people. And the problem was that, you know, Aladdin was initially giving them away in the first conference. And yeah, all of a sudden people are like, wait, what? This is, you know, series one. It's, they're, like you said, one of 100 cards, you know, whatever it is, right? One of 500, one, you know, so they're starting to see the market, starting to learn about it. And then people just started like hoarding them. You know, they're starting to take them. They're putting them into cold storage like they would Bitcoin. And of course, you know, figured, you know, typical Bitcoiners, they're seeing the scarcity of it, the collectability, and it's something fun too. I guess this is the other part. It's something fun because, you know, for Bitcoiners, it's tough because, you know, Bitcoin is ephemeral. You know, it's in the ether. You know, it's money, but it's on a ledger and it's digital. It's digital stone, right? It's, you can see the miners and the rigs. You can see stuff like that, but you can't really play with a miner. You know, you can't play with an ASIC. You know, like it's tough to do stuff like that. So we live in this world where you want to be a part of the community. You want to help drive it forward. Not everyone can start a business. Not everyone can or has the ability or means or has the idea or whatever it might be. So how can you or wants to be a content creator or whatever, start a podcast or have a blog. So how can you get things in your hands that you can start pushing that mission forward and start satiating some of that other, like that fun part of Bitcoin? Cause again, we can talk all day about macro and, you know, we can go to conferences, which we talked about, which is so important, building community. At the same time, like, what are some of the gamification aspects? What are some of the fun you can have that when you're in Bitcoin? And then also, oh, by the way, start educating people, kids, young, old, whatever it might be, about this new world. So yeah, it's a challenge to ride this line, because the scarcity aspect is amazing and the price keeps going up of the cards, because there's only so much we can do, because there's only so much, just like Bitcoin, it's, the price just keeps going up. And it's, you know, it's a good problem to have, right? Like we were saying, you that's great, but you also want it to be for the plebs. You want everyone to be able to get their hands on it. So this is where this line comes, where we're trying to ride the line between having like this Genesis collection that we have that came out, and we had 1,000 boxes and we've got a couple hundred boxes left and that we want to sell, but it's a cheaper version of the cards and they have different borders. They have white borders instead of the flagship Orange Pill and the Pack series. A lot of them have black borders. And we want to get more of the cards into more people's hands. It's a 100-pack box instead of a 24-pack box. And if you get a whole box, you get a box topper, which is a one of one card, maybe in there, a 1 of 99. So you get that collectability part. And then the packs, you can do whatever you want with them. You can give them away, give them to a library, give them to family and friends, give them to, you know, whatever it might be. But the problem was we were finding people that with the Orange Pill in the Pack series, they were scared to give the packs away because they were like, well, what if there's a $5,000 card in here? Or what if there's a $250 card in here? And so people were really stressing out, quite honestly. There's no better way to say it, but people are really like conflicted of what to do. And so that's where it's like, okay, how do we, again, have a bigger series where we can really expand the company, have some of these collaborations. Like I was telling you before, we signed with Fanatics Live. And so that's, we have a show that we're building here over the next month or so to come out and to do with on their platform. So that's going to be huge. But how can we have this product? Because the Orange Pill in the Pack series sells out and they're, you know, it's like, do you put limits on people, how much they can buy? You know, it's like, where, how can the price go? Because you don't want a couple of people just coming and buying them all up. So it's this weird line you're trying to ride of educational cards and making it so there's more of them, more people can get to them. It's cheaper for the average person to get it out and not be concerned that they're going to give away a pack of cards with a $5,000 card or a $3,000 or a $300 card in it. And we can also have, you know, when people are coming in, whether they're watching your show or they're watching a Fanatics live stream, a break when they're, you know, they're breaking cards. Coil Breaks will be the one that'll be doing that. He's been doing a lot of that so far. He's so good at it. And he'll be the one driving that in the Fanatics Live platform. And it's like, how do we have this ability to give things away? And the person who's doing it isn't feeling like, oh, this is a terrible decision probably. So anyway, that's the thing we're trying to ride. You know, it's great to have scarcity in the business. As you know, you want that. It's built in scarcity. Most businesses are trying to manufacture scarcity so they can sell their product. We have that. And then people ask too, actually, I'll touch on this too. People ask a lot as well, like, what stops you from doing the Ken Griffey thing and doing and being that? And we have, Aladdin's done card burns. So we've done some of those like live where we've recorded videos of us, like if there's a mistake or something happens, like we'll like burn the cards and like record it or do like a live. And we have like the printer plates. We actually get the printer plates a lot of the times. I had to see with Aladdin if he has all of them, but end up getting the printer plates and they'll either destroy some of them or they'll give them away, things of that nature. But obviously as a smaller business, not being a Tops or a, you know, something like that, or a Donruss, we don't have the ability to necessarily, our livelihoods are on the line. If we were to print more of them, obviously we'd just quickly destroy our reputation and we'd be gone. So, you know, it doesn't behoove us to do that, obviously right now. And the other part is we have like a 500 or 600 person Telegram group already just in the like last 9 months that have been built up of people that are in there daily, like trading back and forth to each other, conversing. And it's like super tight knit community already. And they're very, like very protective of everything. And they're like, you know, whether it's scammers or like anything. So it's wild, like the raving fans that have already been like built up inside the community. So those things, you know, keep people keeping each other honest is part of it, but also the reputation is the big part of it too. And making sure we're working with good printers as well. So.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I actually, yeah, I mean, I dealt with a little of that. I was kind of surprised. So I have one here. It's a Bitcoin racing trading card. It's signed by Chris McKenzie, the driver. So we sold one with signed by Chris and Charlie McKenzie, the brothers behind all that. But yeah, I sold that on scarcity for 100K sats. But I mean, it's going towards, we're making a promotional video. So by the time this comes out, you'll probably see that. That's but really cool. Yeah, so I mean, it's a lot of cool stuff, and also I think like it's a cool way to kind of help support, you know, some of the people in the industry as well. But adding that scarcity aspect, it's helping stress, you know, that thing and kind of the hard money principles behind the cards. So let's dive into the Fanatic stuff though, man. That's fucking huge. I mean, Michael Rubin, you know, I mean, obviously Fanatics has paired up with all of the major sports, and you know, to me, you know, I was never maybe a big like Magix card guy or anything like that. Maybe I got into Pokemon a little bit younger, but the baseball cards was always that kind of thing with me. So from that aspect of things, like, you know, how big, like, I don't know, can you put it into words, like how big this partnership is, or are you still kind of grasping onto it?
That's a great question. I mean, honestly, I think we all are. We all are trying to grasp at what it means. And because it's, as you know, I mean, like Fanatics Live, they're just coming out with that. Like, this is a newish endeavor for them, right? And they're trying to build that platform up as well. There's multiple arms of Fanatics and the business there. So I think, you know, everyone is. And when I say everyone, I mean Bitcoin Trading Cards and Fanatics Live. Everyone's trying to kind of get their feet under themselves in a way. And like, what is this? What is it going to be? We just had a meeting yesterday about this, is, you know, early March here. And in talking about, hey, what are our expectations? What are Fanatics Live expectations? What is everyone expecting out of these things? And to have in the, you know, we've got, I'm trying to think, we've got Jonathan Davis, we got Julian Figueroa, Kinetic Finance. There's a bunch of people working on this in the background. Coil Breaks will be the host, but we got some, you know, literally like having directors, JD and Julian, director and producer, working on the show with Coil to set up the show, basically get this set going here in the next month and really do some like fun stuff, like just things that would have, you know, if anyone's familiar with Gary V, obviously he's got his V friends, you know, stuff like that in the NFT world, and we're obviously a little bit different than that with on the Bitcoin side, but you know, I know that Fanatics Live kind of has aspirations of like, hey, you're gonna, you know, we can kind of have this other theme in that world. I think that's probably how they see it, maybe the best way to say it, but you know, here we go, like, we want you to be, you know, similar to what this Gary V guy is doing, right? And and so that's where Coil is amazing at what he does and the breaks and the energy he brings. And similar to you and what we were talking about, he's been in the hobby for, you know, 20 years, so since he was a kid. So I think that everyone's trying to get their feet under them to see what it is, but our goal is to do some stuff that has never been seen before on these breaks, on the lives, probably 2 to 4 hour shows, bringing in, you know, Coil, we were saying yesterday, we want to be able to have like a one-stop shop almost, where people, again, young, could be old, but people can come in and they can learn about cards, the hobby, you know, trading, collectibles, but also Bitcoin, you know, sound money. And, you know, maybe we'll orange pill some people at Fanatics along the way here, and people start to see the opportunity that Bitcoin gives them. And the cards are that the transmission belt, you know, for that in a way. There, that's the oil that kind of greases everything and gets it flowing and brings everyone together. But yeah, it's going to be really cool to have this kind of come out over the next few months and put this show together with them and the breaks, and do things again, like having, whether it's celebrities coming on and doing stuff together, being at different shows, being at different conferences, and the things that we have in mind of what to do. Again, some of it's still in, you know, can't say all of it. And then some of it we're still literally meeting on and trying to figure out what those things are. But I know, like, we already have a good idea of what it's going to be. And the next 2 weeks are going to be those guys actually doing some like dry runs of it and putting it together. And this is the big thing, I think, for everybody, is this is really, you know, you and I talked about this again, like, there's Bitcoin is fun. Most people in the world don't know that. And this is the, you know, and the whole world could be a lot more fun if Bitcoin was the money we're using, right? But again, not a lot of people know that yet. So that's where, as Bitcoiners, we're trying to increase adoption, increase education. And this Fanatics Live partnership, like, we look at it as our team as like, hey, we're the education, or the entertainment, but also education, but entertainment arm of Bitcoin. That's really how Bitcoin Trading Cards sees themselves, and bringing fun to the Bitcoin space, because it's needed. And this is why there's young and old that are loving the company, because again, it's ephemeral. It's, you know, ethereal. Like, it's like, okay, I can't hold the dang Bitcoin. So it's like, what do we do? The cards give you something to really kind of latch onto. And this is the introduction into the normie world, the pre-coiner world of, here's sound money. You know, here's a new way of living. Here's a new way to a new monetary standard, a new way to transact. It's Bitcoin. So this is going to be the first really iteration, as far as we know, of and that's how we look at it, of we're entering into that world and going to start piercing that world through Fanatics Live and the breaks and what we're doing here. So we're pumped about it, man.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you guys are weaseling your way into normie land, dude. I mean, how's that?
Trojan horse, man. Trojan horse. That's, we're trying. Yeah, we're trying.
Exactly. And I mean, I think like through sports or through, you know, trading cards, like whatever it is, I think like that's the kind of the way to do it. Because, you know, we're seeing the big dogs kind of come in now, right? With the 11 spot ETFs passed in the U.S. Obviously there's a shit ton of money just being flown in through the Wall Street, aspect of things. Like, it's their new favorite asset, but like, has this conversation, I guess, do you think, I guess we'll put on your tinfoil hat here. Do you think without the ETFs and without kind of like mainstream, traditional finance kind of coming in, that this partnership with Fanatics would have happened? Or obviously kind of helped put some visibility on it, but do you think like, because, now traditional Wall Street is kind of accepting Bitcoin, that more of these traditional, you know, companies, whatever it is, whether it's Fanatics or somebody else, is more inclined to partner with a company like Bitcoin Trading Cards for that? Do you think that conversation's kind of gotten easier because of that? Or do you think it's just like, hey, you know, you guys are doing your thing and, you know, right place, right time kind of thing?
That's a great question, Brandon. Honestly, I think it's both, in the sense that we have a couple of partnerships. One, the Fanatics Live that just got announced, just signed, and then, which actually hasn't really got announced yet, so it's kind of the first to know here in a way, but it's signed. And we have a couple others that are on the horizon here. These talks all started actually last year. So whether I don't even know, I couldn't say if these people knew about the Bitcoin ETFs necessarily or what was happening way before the price was pumping, for sure. So because of the cards and because of the rarity and the collectability and just kind of the new dimension it was bringing to the card space, I can confirm that we've had a lot of talks, whether it was with some of the biggest card, franchises on earth. So you can kind of think of those. I mentioned some of them earlier. We've talked to the printers for those people, worked with them, and some of these other partnerships we're working on. And they've all really echoed the same thing, which is, man, this is potential to be one of the biggest projects ever in the hobby. Just because of money touches 8 billion people, you know, like Magic or, you know, some of these other things or baseball cards. Not everyone's a baseball fan, you know, like not everyone. I collected hockey cards. You did baseball. You know, we did our own sports things when we were, you know, collectors, but it doesn't touch everybody. Well, money touches everyone. And the art and the rarity in these is just some of these things infused together has really kind of opened the eyes of numerous potential partners and bigger people out there in these spaces. But I think to your point, though, so that was in the last 6-9 months, these things were already kind of starting. But I think now going forward, some of these talks now, again, greasing the skids a little bit, like we were saying, I think they get sped up a little bit. And some of them, it's kind of like, okay, great. You know, like we said, you know, prices all time high now or whatever it is, ETFs are coming out. So now you can tell like these conversations will probably just speed up even more. And it'll just be like, okay, like what can we do here? How can we get this going quicker? So I think you're correct in your assessment of where you see things headed, for sure.
Yeah, I know. I mean, as much as we don't like to look at price, it's like, it's kind of what the normies like, you know, that's what they gets the clicks, right? I mean, it's what they kind of look forward to, right? I mean, what if you look at the kind of Google search trend, it's usually like you could see the Google search trends for Bitcoin kind of peaking at the price top. And that's kind of when things go. So that's why I think we're not at the top yet, because the search trends are still pretty low compared to where it's at. So we'll see. This should be a very interesting year. But, you know, from your perspective, not only like Bitcoin Trading Cards, what Bitcoin is going on, I know you're in the weeds, you're grinding real hard. What's something that you're really looking forward to for the rest of this year? We still got, you know, I guess we're about a quarter of the way in. So we still got a long ways to go, man. And it sounds like you guys are running full steam ahead. So is there anything that kind of stands out in your future plans that you're really excited about and ready to get rolling?
So we have the, you know, a handful of conference packs this year that are coming out, and kind of what we were saying earlier a little bit, it's again, it's this challenge of, you know, as a business, when you're trying to launch things, it's tough. Obviously you're like just 100 mile an hour sprint and then you like stop, and then it's 100 mile an hour sprint again, and then you stop, and then 100 mile an hour sprint again, and then you stop. And that's what launches are. And we're not unique in that. There's obviously a lot of businesses out there that are in this launch phase a lot of times, or like that's their business or whatever it might be. Or they have a service or whatever it is, but they're constantly doing launches in order to keep their service going, if that makes sense. So that's this conundrum again we find ourselves in, where we've had people talk about membership or wanting VIP stuff. So that stuff we're working on in the background, where it's kind of continuity based. It's a maybe a monthly recurring thing or a yearly recurring thing, where they get perks on things, discounts on stuff. Maybe it's merch, stickers, binders, stuff like that. So we have these conference packs, though. And where I was going with that was, we have the conference packs. We have a handful of those, like BitBlock Booms coming. We have a Halving edition coming out as well. So both those coming in April. We also have Spirit of Satoshi, which we just launched as well with Alex Svetsky and the AI that he's building. And so that's a really cool project. And that's launched. All of these are just in like the first quarter of the year. And then you get into, some other stuff going on, which is the big Series 3 Orange Pill in a Pack. That's the flagship coming out as of right now, slated to be in Nashville in July. And then we've got Pacific Bitcoin, probably going to be doing Unconfiscatable again, like we did last year, and Pacific Bitcoin again, like we've done the last 2 years. And then I'm missing one in there, I believe, as well. And then we have another partnership that's, again, not signed yet, legally signed yet, so can't mention it, but that's another thing that might be coming out later this year as well, probably quarter three or quarter four. So, and then Fanatics obviously is all throughout this doing like the show and what's going on with that there. I don't know if there's what the product line will be out of that necessarily, but we're going to be, exploring that as we go forward here. So that's our year in a really quick nutshell. It doesn't sound too crazy when I just lay it all out there, but it's like constant launches and trying to fortunately streamline our systems a little bit. And again, I think it's gonna be wild. Like we were saying, the price, I haven't got to look at price that much over the last couple of weeks. We've been so like head down in the weeds of trying to get this stuff out there. But to that point, we thought, a lot of us were thinking, okay, we've got maybe 6-12 months, maybe 18 months of this bull run where we're getting things ready for this bull run. And here we are, like you said, 70K or all time highs. And it's like, man, it's not even halving yet. So it's kind of like catching everyone by surprise in a way, I'm sure, just across the board of like, whoa, this is a little bit earlier than we thought. But again, to your point, the search traffic necessarily isn't totally there yet. We're seeing upticks a little bit and stuff, whether it's some orders here and there, people searching things or whatever, but it's just not totally there yet. Like you said, we got a long way to go. I think personally, I was talking to Larry Lepard yesterday, and we, I know you just had him on somewhat recently too. And, it's like you're looking at stuff and he's like, man, this could go to 100, 200, 300, 500,000 in a week, like it's Bitcoin. Like we just, humans can't understand the exponential, adoption here. And where like when there's only 10% of the coins available or whatever it is, no one's selling them. Price is the only thing that moves, kind of like the cards, like we were talking about. So something has to give, and it's only price. So that's where, to me, it's like, man, we could go anywhere. I know like that's where Samson again is, like, hey, this is going to a million this cycle. Do I think it's going there? I have no idea, but I don't see it out of the picture, because who's selling? Who's selling their coins to BlackRock? Give me 25 million a coin, in the next month or two. Sure. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe it's like, give me 25 million a coin and here we go. I'll talk BlackRock, but I don't know, man. Like it's wild. Like all these things, the bull run coinciding with the products coming out that we have. And then you think about all this stuff, right? That's what's the beauty of Bitcoin. It aligns all incentives. It's, your channel is going to continue growing, because guess what? Everyone's going to keep flooding into Bitcoin. You're going to have 99% of the world's not in Bitcoin, or at least probably 90, 95% of the world is not in Bitcoin. So it's like, people are going to be flooding to content creators. They're going to be flooding to products. They're going to be flooding to the businesses and the wallet providers. Like, is everyone ready? Like that's the thing I think about. Like, is everyone ready? Is the network of people ready for the flood and over the next, 6, 12, 18 months? It's going to be wild.
No, I mean, to be honest, I don't think we're ready, because I don't think that anybody's ready for like traditional finance. I know everybody's kind of like alluded to it, right? There's been traditional finance spot ETFs in different countries outside the US, but nobody's has the money that backing traditional finance in any other country like it does in the United States. And yeah, man, it's all-time high, first time before halving. It's insane. I think we're just going to go up from here. But before I let you go, I want to talk a little bit about building in the bear market, preparing for what we don't even know what the hell's ahead. So let's talk about that. I mean, obviously you guys have a scarce mindset, right? With the trading cards and everything like that. But how was it kind of riding the waves of the bear market? I met Aladdin in Pacific Bitcoin this past year. I don't think I met you there, but yeah, I mean, I've seen you guys everywhere, but you know, obviously dealing with the volatility of being in a startup, kind of a new space and in a niche product and in a bear market, that can't be a good recipe for success, but you guys were able to do it. So tell me a little bit about that and how you guys were able to manage all that.
Yeah. Another great question. It's been good. I mean, I can't complain really that much. Everything we've received so far. We've been very blessed in general, just the team in general. We've had an awesome team, people that can, I don't know, I guess ride out the storms. I don't know a better way to put it necessarily, but ride out the storms. Aladdin's a great leader. Level-headed, you know, calm, you know, when he needs to be, but he can turn up a notch when he needs to as well. But that's again, what makes part of a great leader. So he's good at what he does and in pushing people and being creative. He's a great artist, obviously, and putting those things together and ideas and very, very creative. But yeah, the market, we've dumped everything back into the cards, really. You know, like there's been very little of you know, taking out of the business, we'll say that, from anyone at all. And there's some contract employees, things like that here and there that need to get paid on a contract basis or what have you. But yeah, it's been dumping everything back into the project to really get ready for this bull run. So the last year and a half, again, we've been blessed to have many people volunteer. Really a lot of people volunteer and volunteering their time, putting in the hours they can to work on things. And, you know, it's been a challenge. It's, you know, there's a lot of things. I was just talking to one of the team members yesterday and, you know, he's just like, hey, just like there's things kind of like all over the place. And that's startup life. And again, it's not unique to us necessarily. Right. But it's, you're trying to get all these people together all of a sudden out of nowhere within a 14 month span, bringing people in. Some people leave because they're like, hey, I've got other things that have come up or whatever. And so you're bringing in, you know, we went to, you know, two people started it. And then there was five or six of us for months and months. And then we had a bunch of volunteers. Now, just over the last couple of months, there's about 10 or 12 of us now. So we basically onboarded another six or eight people in different kind of aspects or their different superpowers over the last, you know, handful of months, last 2-3 months. And we've been better for it, but it's finding the right people, the right place, right time, right stage in life where they can maybe go a few months or a quarter or two without something or getting it from other areas or whatever it might be to push us forward because of the greater mission and seeing that, hey, this could be the entertainment arm of Bitcoin and bringing normies into the space and really pushing things forward. Because, and you mentioned this earlier, the ETF stuff, you know, the ETF stuff, you know, I get frustrated sometimes because, you know, to me, a lot of the macro just goes away. You know, Bitcoin becomes what we think it is. It just goes away, like, quite honestly, a lot of it. And so I sometimes get too idealistic. I'm like, God, why are we talking about this so much? Right. And we all get into it. You know, we all fall into that trap, which is fine. But that probably will be the thing that really stems or spurs a lot of the tide, right? If you have sovereign wealth, you know, money or pensions and endowment, if these people coming into Bitcoin, that's going to really change the game, obviously, right? The foundation, though, for it to stick, though, is the bottom, you know, from bottom up. And so you have to have both worlds. And that's where one side can't get too idealistic or too religious about their own side. You know, I can't sit here and say, hey, why are you guys talking about macro so much? We need to talk about bottom up. You know, let's get the kids, you know, whatever. Well, that's going to take a few years for sure. The macro side, you know, again, to try to go top down. Well, you're trying to change these overarching massive legacy structures. You know, good luck. I mean, some of them will go and they'll start falling, hopefully like dominoes quicker than sooner than later, but they have to work in unison, you know, going toward the middle together. And so that's where I think it's really vitally important for that to happen. But again, the bear market, it's been a challenge, just like I'm sure a lot of the businesses, just in general, people, personal, you know, individually, families, the business, well, we poured everything back into it. And that's why I was telling you, we're on a blitz to sell a bunch of our Genesis boxes, get those out there, get the word out. We didn't have to market last year. That was, you know, we had the challenge was not selling things. We sold a lot of stuff. The challenge was no one really, you know, we didn't pay really any of us, each other anything because we were dumping it back into the business to print more things, to do more things, go to more conferences, pay for the, you know, the team to go do stuff. That was what we were doing just to, hey, we can see the future in the next year or two could be really bright if we just kind of hold off right now. So right now our push is again, going on shows, doing stuff, having people on our podcast, you know, getting out marketing because we just didn't have to do it before. So it's doing it to get some of the educational things out that aren't quite as scarce. There's scarcity to them, but not as much as like the flagship series. So how can we get this education out there, this fun way to educate people? How can we do that and develop this SOP, these operating procedures that we can use going forward now in the coming, you know, months that will lead us through this bear market? So.
Yeah, overall great stuff. And Brandon, you've been very generous with your time here. So I really appreciate you coming on the State of Bitcoin podcast. But why don't you tell people where they can find you and what all you got going on?
Yeah, thanks, brother. I really appreciate you, Brandon. First off, you got a phenomenal name. I don't know how you're so blessed with your name. So, but no, I do. I appreciate you having me on and giving us an opportunity to come talk about orange pilling people, the Trojan horse that is Bitcoin trading cards and incepting it into people's minds. I'm Brandon_Gentile on Twitter or X or whatever. You can find me there and, you know, Bitcoin trading cards. I'll send you some stuff too, because we do have an offer. I want to, you know, make, you know, your show and any shows we go on, an offer. So I'll give it to you so that way you can put it in the show notes as well. But we're going to be doing, you know, maybe a couple times a year, maybe even quarterly, a big giveaway to people that, you know, they can win in a contest or, you know, type of thing. So it's going to be, you know, probably like a Genesis box. We haven't put it fully together yet, but if you email us, and again, I'll give you this info, it's info@btc-tc.com or btc-cards.com. So I'll give you this info that we have it, because everyone who's watching, it's a couple things. Subscribe to this podcast, number one. So I want people, you know, because I know a lot of people on these shows don't subscribe to the actual host of the show. So subscribe to the show and go and follow us on Twitter at Bitcoin Trading Cards and Instagram. So there's a couple things. Send a screenshot and email us at that email that I just gave. And then we're going to put it together. We'll do like in our Telegram community, we do like marble races and like duck races and all these different like fun, like contest giveaway type of stuff and giving away. Could be anything, cards, merch. And so we actually have one tonight coming up. I know people won't be able to see it tonight, but we're going to be doing these more regularly where people are on Friday nights or just during the week. We're doing stuff. We're doing card breaks, that gearing up for the Fanatics Live stuff. So people will, just by being involved, get like awesome prizes, get things that are really valuable just for showing up, just for being part of the community. So I'll give you those notes. You can put those in there. But if people go, like I said, go to that, you know, binders and stickers, series 2 packs, which were obviously worth a lot of money. So we'll be giving those away into like a big drawing or a big raffle or a contest, basically. So everyone who does that, that comes in and sends us a screenshot and says, hey, look, we subscribed to your email list. We subscribed to Green Candle in Brandon's podcast, and we, you know, followed you guys, here you go. And then we'll enter all those people into some of these contests we do quarterly or whatever to get some really cool stuff. So appreciate it, man. I really appreciate you having me in the team on. I really, really appreciative, grateful.
Of course, man. Big things ahead with Bitcoin trading cards. And like you said, I'll put all that stuff in the show notes, so be on the lookout for that. And we'll catch you all in the next one.